This is QuakeCast 52. In this episode, we're joined by Nico and Messiah of the US Quake World community. They've got some announcements for some new events that are going on, and they're going to give us an update on what's going on in the multiplayer scene, at least here in North America. There are quite a few other communities that are kind of cropping up. We'll mention that, and maybe some mapping talk as well. All this and a whole lot more. So what's going on in the U.S. Quake community these days?
We're doing a lot of daily events. We've got 4-on-4, 2-on-2, CTF, and FFA. So any day you can hop on at night and usually able to get a game going, which is really nice.
Cool.
We've been branching out to doing some more stuff, clan arena event nights, CTF event nights, just kind of trying to get a gauge on what some of the older players and what some of the returning players are looking to do, you know, game mode wise. But yeah, Monday through Friday, every day, we've got a different game mode, different scheduled event. So it's been really good for different people's play styles and attracting different kinds of players and stuff.
So now you have a large event that you're a new event that you guys have been planning for a while. Why don't you tell me a little bit about that?
So it's going to be a 4-on-4 draft tournament. The idea is that some of the better players will be captains, then they will get seated, and then they'll draft from the players, you know, maybe like the NFL or something like that. And the goal is to get like some diverse teams. You know, you don't have one strong team dominating, making maybe, you know, new players not want to play as much.
Yeah, we're trying to distribute out some of that top tier talent and maybe have some of those guys do a bit of, you know, training and like kind of just guidance with the 4-on-4 game mode, and just kind of get people a little bit more interested in it and a little bit more experience without just kind of getting, you know, spawn fragged over and over again, et cetera.
I was going to say, so did this come about because the mode was really popular, or is because it kind of was not so popular? So now you're just trying to get 4-on-4 kind of more excitement around that, basically?
I think, I mean, I don't want to speak out of turn, but I would say in the world of Quake World, 4-on-4 is sort of like the pinnacle, like the most difficult game mode. And I say that because there is 20 years plus of experience of people on the same maps, you know, knowing exact timings, exact routings, exactly what to do in what situations. And that could be daunting, but it is probably the most rewarding game type. I get the most enjoyment out of it personally, and I think a lot of other people do too. And I really think that all that's needed is just a little bit more assistance with the newer players and kind of get them on the right track of here, be at quad time and be at pent time and things like that could really get some more interest in it overall as a competitive mode. And I think it's really popular now. I mean, we have 2 4-on-4 events per week, and we definitely get, you know, 8-16 guys there, you know, every couple of times a week. But these games are just kind of pickups, right? Where we just sort of randomly organize by perceived skill. And we kind of want some more organized competition where there are teams and there are practices and things of that nature.
Now, so this will be an ongoing weekly event?
So like the goal would be, you know, you get the teams drafted, all set up, and then I imagine the group stages, if you will, be, you know, double round robin style. You'll play one match a week, schedule it with your opponents, and then top 4, 5, 6, whatever, how many teams we have, will then go on to like a playoff stage, you know, double elimination bracket.
And now, Messiah, you have, I'm assuming you have like a web interface and all this stuff now set up, or do you do it on Discord? How do you handle all the information, you know, that comes from tracking all these players and matches?
Yeah, to be honest, in the preliminary stages, we've just been doing everything through Discord. I think the ideas for teams and stuff can be done through Discord. So you have a role for whatever team you're on, and that team has their own private channel and stuff like that. I think as far as like the bracketing and stuff, there's a couple of different options out there. I mean, we could use traditional challenge or whatever it is, .com, or we could use just our own Liquid Chart or something like that. But I think for organizational purposes, I don't want to pull it too far away from Discord. When you have to send somebody to a third-party service and they've got to sign up for an account there, or they've got to jump through extra hoops, I just feel like that's more work than maybe some people are willing to put into getting set up. And some people are uncomfortable having a bunch of different accounts, you know what I mean? So I think it's better to maybe just keep it on the one Discord account. And if there's anything additional that we need, you know, just really think it out. Don't just kind of throw a bunch of different services at the player and get them either confused or concerned, you know?
No, I love that. Yeah, because you want to make it, especially for this stuff, it's like in a 24-year-old game, and it's hard enough to get into it from the get-go when people are used to matchmaking and all that stuff. So we've talked about that before. Now, how about, has anything happened with map rotations? Because I'm going to tell you right now that as far as the mapping community, that always crops up. There's always the lamentation of like, you know, hey, I can make the best map in the world and, you know, nobody's ever going to play it. Has there been any kind of movement on that?
I would say absolutely. Yeah. We've had some newer multiplayer mappers making new maps or remaking maps that actually have made it into, I think they made it into Hammer Time tournament, if I'm not speaking out of turn here. I'm not actually in the tournament myself, but as far as 4-on-4 goes, there's always going to be the big three. There's always going to be DM3, DM2, E1M2. And I feel like that's really leaning towards the more competitive side. But even in the competitive world of like 2-on-2s and whatnot, new maps are still getting added to, you know, tournament rotations and stuff like that. But as far as like FFA or more casual game modes, absolutely. I feel like newer players of Quake are looking for that. They're looking for something a little bit different than something that somebody's played on for 25 years, because they don't have the time or don't want to put in the effort to learn, you know, all of that knowledge that these guys have picked up over that amount of time. So yeah, I would definitely say there's interest in playing new maps or newer maps for sure.
That's great. That's great. So any standout ones that you can think of? I hate to put you on the spot, but
the one I was referencing in that I think made it into the 2-on-2 tournament that is happening right now is Tox, which is a remake of a remake, essentially. So what it is Toxicity from Quake 3. That was remade, I think, last year. And then there was Toxicity Test and Test 2. And those actually made it into tournaments as well. But then there's this new mapper, Alice, who has made a good 10 maps or so in this past like 6 months, I feel like, that just released a new remake of that map called Tox. And that map is featured, I believe, in the current 2-on-2 tournament. So
it is not, actually, unfortunately.
I thought it was. Okay.
They were going to do Almost Lost, I thought, but I must have missed the Discord announcement or something, because it's not in there anymore.
Okay. Okay. Well, and see,
yeah, sure, though.
Speaking about stuff I don't even know, but yeah, no, I mean, they're definitely playing that map and other newer maps, like more, maybe they're not included in the tournaments, but I would definitely say, you know, these up and coming maps probably will be in the future. It just takes time for everybody to learn them and be comfortable competing at that level, I feel like, with new maps.
I haven't been to your Discord in a little while, and I clicked on the mapping tab. I'm like, whoa, okay, cool. Lots of stuff. So nice. So tell me, so now you've had a lot of growth, a lot of activity on your Discord and on the servers. Like, has anything changed? Like, I mean, have you changed the amount of servers you have, or has it kind of basically stayed the same? I mean, do you have any plans on expanding, or is it kind of bursting at the seams? What's the status of servers?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I don't know if it's changed since the last time I talked to you. I have servers on the West Coast. I have two in central locations, one in Chicago, one in Texas. I have one in Toronto, and then I have one in New York. So, and on each of those, I have 8 game ports. I have done some cooler, like, kind of random ports. Like, I found all of, I don't know if you're familiar, but there was these maps that came out in, like, 98 called Fragtown, where it's basically the setting is real world location. Like, one map is Dallas and one map is Chicago and one map is really cool. Like, Fragtown 7 has a moving train on it. Like, if you go up certain steps, you hit a trigger zone and a train starts moving back and forth and you can ride it. You know what I mean? Like, pretty cool map. You know what I mean? So I found these maps and I thought, wow, that's cool. You know, so I put them all together in an Instagib port, just thinking that would be kind of cool. Like, you can play Quake World with all your movement, but you're sort of in sort of like a, you know, tactical shooter type setting, and you're playing Instagib, so it's more of a tactical twitch shooter kind of, you know. So I mean I've tried to do some, you know, more interesting stuff, but as far as just the main, like, TDM duels, like, most of that stuff is all just pretty stock standard.
And three wave capture the flag, or...
Well, we play KTX Capture the Flag, which is based on three-wave, yeah. So it's all pretty similar, yep. And we do CTF nights now, and those have been picking up. Interestingly enough, and maybe you're aware of this, but the NetQuake multiplayer community has actually been ramping back up. I just saw them last night, and they had 10 people in CTF. Well, actually, they were playing Quake World that night. So they're doing some stuff with USQC and the NetQuake guys, but I see them almost every single night on a NetQuake server playing with at least like 6 guys in CTF. And those guys have been coming over and doing the Quake World events too, which is kind of what prompted us to start doing CTF. So it's been pretty interesting. All of a sudden, kind of just popped up out of nowhere, a new NetQuake Discord. There's a couple, I think 150 people in there now. And
yeah, I saw it when it came out. They reached out to the Quake Mapping Discord and I jumped in there, but I haven't really kept up with what's going on. So that's awesome news, because, you know, there's something special about NetQuake. I mean, it's an adjustment, but yeah, it's good to see that there's cross-pollination too. And they're coming over to your side as well. That's great.
Yeah. And some of our guys have been playing over, I mean, I've played over on the NetQuake servers and know a couple of people, in our Discord have too. So yeah, it's something that Quake really needs. It really needs to sort of merge these two different communities together. And I think we're working the best we can to do that. Obviously the games, are the same, but technically different and definitely how they're played. So there can't ever be like a complete merger, but I think it's cool that we're doing stuff with that part of the Quake community.
Right. And you said that you had mentioned earlier that, that you're doing some stuff with the US Doom and Quake community as well. You want to talk about some of those, kind of, endeavors?
Yeah, so like over there, they've been doing Quake events, Quake World events, and Doom events. And so now I'm sort of collaborating with them to line up my Friday FFA event. So we do FFA 9 p.m. Central every Friday. And they were doing it every Monday. And it's sort of like, I don't know, sort of split up the players a little bit. And so now we've merged it to be on the same day. So, you know, they'll have their FFA event on Friday starting at 9. I'll have mine. We're all playing on my servers. And so we're just sort of doing more collaborative stuff to kind of get all the players in the same place at the same time.
That's great. Yeah, that's really good news, because that's what happens with mapping as well. You know, you have fragmentation is just, that happens with every community, every online community, name it. You name it, there's fragmentation, but it just seems like Quake is so much worse. I don't know why. I think it's because of it's NetQuake, Quake World. You've got multiplayer, hardcore multiplayer people, and then you have people that have never ever launched multiplayer and have no clue. So Nico, how did you get involved? Like, what is your story with getting involved, organizing events and playing?
I really don't remember how I came across Quake World. It's probably just browsing around on Discord or Reddit one day, saw the link and was like, this is really fun. You know, I started in the USQC, I think it was called US Quake Community, and I really liked the event structure. It was really nice to be able to get time on at a set time every week and able to get some games in. Usually playing these older games is really hard. It feels like you gotta have to like know someone, you know, you have to like be in with the crowd to be able to get games, but not the case when there's just the scheduled event week. As for organizing events, really, just we were playing so much 4-on-4. It was so much fun. I played a tournament in Europe called Get Quad. They did a draft tournament, and recently one of the admins there said that he has to take a break from organizing events. So they're not doing a 4-on-4 draft this season. They're doing like some sort of Nations Cup instead, I guess. And I thought, well, you know, I was really looking forward to another draft season. So I figured, you know, we have all these players in US. We're getting 2 4-on-4 events a week with tons of specs, you know, in addition to the 8 players. I figured we could probably get our own draft going, you know, with NA players instead of having to go play on EU servers.
It is an absolutely cool, different feeling when you're playing with a team that you're practicing with, you have some camaraderie with, you know, you're all working towards the same goal. And you can actually kind of look at your own gameplay a little bit more finely than when you have 3 other guys that are there and they're kind of counting on you to, you know, play a certain way to a certain performance level or hold certain positions. It's really easy to kind of pick out and be like, hey, you know, if you did this, that would really help us in this game on this map. And all of a sudden you pick up that piece of information, you apply it. I don't know. It's just a really cool team feeling when you're, because I've been part of the draft Git Quad, not this last season, but the season before. And yeah, it's just really cool. It's really different to be on a team and sort of rely on each other and help each other get better in practices and stuff than it is just to, you know, do FFA or have random pickups where the teams are just sort of selected right then and there.
Now, I know before you had like streaming of these events. Is that still going on? Is this going to be streamed, this draft?
I try and stream any event I can. Sometimes I do forget to turn on OBS. I've been trying to be better about that. I know I'll stream every 4-on-4 draft game I can, you know, anyone I play in, and definitely looking to maybe, you know, spectate and commentate on the ones I don't as well.
Yeah, and we would love, you know, any experience, you know, Quake commentators that wanted to get involved. We absolutely want to stream the games and the draft process, just kind of like exactly how Git Quad did, you know, have a list of names and have captains picking and, you know, stuff like that. So, but yeah, I mean, if anybody out there listening to this feels like they'd be interested in, you know, being a commentator for some of these streams, for some of these games, or maybe that you're more interested in just the high level games or whatever it may be, definitely get in contact with us.
Yeah, that would be really nice to get Jahar, you know, exactly. Commenting on some of your guys' games. Maybe I can talk to him for you guys. See, I'm sure if you reached out, he would at least respond. I know he's a busy guy, but
the talent out there for commentation of Quake is vast. You know what I mean? Like, these guys are so experienced and they're so knowledgeable and they're so good at calling the action. You know, it's like you're watching football or you're watching professional wrestling, even, where like the commentators are very in depth, you know, about exactly what you're seeing. And I feel like, some of that talent would be great to apply to a stream with these games that we're having here in North America.
I would never be able to do that. I can't even form a sentence, as you guys can hear. But so just commentating, like, I'd be like, whoosh, rocket, neat, oh wow, what, you know. So
that's sort of how I am, to be honest. And even having a good idea of what's actually happening, like, okay, well, Quad's coming up, and okay, well, that red's coming up. Even having that idea, you're watching this game so fast and you're not actually playing and you're like, okay, well, looks like these guys grab control. It's just, it's real hard. It's hard. It's a difficult skill that people,
yeah, it's another mastered. It's a very kind of very specific skill too. And it's even a little different than kind of your normal let's play person who can comment on level design, what have you. And I don't even attempt that stuff either, because I mean, I can have one thought at a time. I'm a goldfish basically. But somebody out there listening, please get a hold of these guys.
Absolutely. And I'm very excited. I feel like, I mean, I haven't been a part of the scene for more than just a couple of years, but in what I've seen, you know, all the tournaments, and especially these bigger draft-style ones, are all happening in Europe. So this would be the first time that this is happening in North America in a long time. You know, I've talked to some of my members of my community that used to run some of these kind of tournaments and stuff like this, and the last, like, real glimpse of it I'm seeing is, like, around 2010, 2012, maybe. So we're talking 10 years later, and I think we're actually going to be able to pull this off with the player base that we have. But this is also, I mean, the reason we're out here recording the podcast is because for anybody listening that's a former player, you have an interest in playing, all those kinds of things, you know, 4-on-4, it's a very easy game where it's very easy to have your captain sort of instruct you what to do. Like, hey, this red's coming up. You need to wait here and grab it. Okay. You know, it's just, it's a good hand-holding kind of thing when you have a good team. When you have a great team and you have a great captain, it can be easy. It seems like it's extremely difficult, but it can be a lot easier than it seems, I guess. And so if you're listening, we would absolutely love for you to join the community and definitely consider, you know, joining this draft and maybe this tournament, because it's going to be a lot of fun. There's so much experience from the captains that are going to be playing, and you could pick up something. The other thing is, you know, Quake World, and I say it probably every time I get on one of these shows, but it's really the basis of online first-person shooter gaming. I mean, it really is. And if you get some experience with it and you kind of get the hang of it, it can really apply to other games. It can really help you with understanding your positioning on the map, you know, who's in control, what your strengths and weaknesses are personally as a player. It's a good game for that. And if you're interested in esports in general, it might be cool to just check this game out and see the roots of all these other games.
Right, exactly. And especially because, I mean, there's a core group of Quake Champions players out there. It's not this rampaging success all over the internet, but I definitely see people almost on a daily basis who bring it up just on our mapping server. So I'm sure there's an appetite of some kind for players that have only experienced Quake Champions to maybe go back and see how it all began, basically. So, I mean, you might want to think of some bridge, I don't know, some kind of way of convincing people or reaching out or informing people on, like, here's what you would experience that feels familiar to Quake Champions. I don't know if you've done that or if anyone's considered that, but.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely take a look at streams from like Rafa and certain people and try to engage people in those chats and stuff. I don't think I've really narrowed down a great way to like bridge the two, but I definitely feel like with games like Diabotical coming out and that being somewhat of a success right now, or at least it's a hot item, you know, you get 2,000 viewers on Twitch, that's pretty good, you know, for newer arena FPS. So I'm hoping, you know, I'm hoping with stuff like this, you know, doing the podcast, just kind of trying to get the word out, and with people's interests maybe peaked a little bit more with Arena FPS, because if you click on that Twitch link, you're seeing, you know, all manner of people trying this game out. And I mean, I clicked on one and I saw, you know, some individual who had only played Overwatch and they'd never played Arena FPS at all, and they're trying this game out and they're literally explaining to their viewers like, yeah, it's like Overwatch but it's different. You know, like it's only based on skill and it's not based on the hero's ability, and like they're literally breaking down the difference between an AFPS and a hero shooter, you know what I mean? And just so their audience knows, you know, because audiences don't always know today. So I do think there's a little bit of spark right now with Arena FPS, and I think we need to jump on that.
Yeah, definitely. Well, so now that brings me to my, I guess, final question, unless you guys have other things to cover. But what I want to know is what is the really specific call to action? How can someone get involved like right now with the draft and your community, in case this is the first time they're hearing about this?
I think it's easier than ever to play Quake World nowadays. You just go to nquake.com, get the installer. Back in the day, you may have had to buy Quake on Steam and get the pack one file, but Nquake now comes with GPL textures. You just have to run the installer and you're in. Join the Discord, play some events, and really easy. Learn the game and you can join the draft. You know, you think, you know, you're a little new, might not fit in, but the whole point is, you know, to draft players based off skill and get the teams balanced off that. So even if you're a little newer, you know, you just started playing, played a couple 4-on-4s, I think you'd be right at home in the draft environment. And I think it'd really help you grow as a player.
And just so everybody knows, that Discord link is http://discord.usquake.world. Yeah, the best way to help the community, you know, if you're interested in that, is just like Nico said, just join the Discord, try to play in a couple of events, you know, see if you like it. That's really all we're ever looking for, is just more players, more consistent player base in each event, and just have a great time, really.
Yeah, nquake.com, download and play today.
That's it for this episode of the Quakecast. Our theme music is by Michael Markey. And we also want to remind you about another podcast, In the Keep. And it's hosted by the Motherlode. He's a great guy. He's been on our show. And I highly recommend you go check out his podcast. It's about arena first-person shooters and gaming in general. So go check them out. We'll have a link for you below. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.